Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are faithful. We would be in awful shape if our salvation depended upon our faithfulness. We thank You, Father, that You are faithful. And indeed, great is Thy faithfulness, as we just sang. Lord, help us as we meditate upon this blessed truth we find in the text here. And may we, Lord, find comfort, and Lord, that we may derive the encouragement we need to continue on, recognizing You will never leave us nor forsake us, because You are faithful. We ask now, Father, You would hear us. For we pray in the name of Christ, who is the faithful High Priest, and for His sake. Amen. God's faithfulness is one of the most comforting things we can speak of about God as His people. It belongs to Him, and really Him alone. Because really, fickleness belongs to us. That's who we are. We cannot be depended on altogether. Only God can be ultimately and altogether depended upon. Because He is altogether and ultimately faithful, we are not. This faithfulness is a very practical truth for us as believers. It's something that comforts us. It's something that encourages us. It's something that strengthens us in this world that is so full of disappointments, so full of unfaithfulness. You know, I think about, you know, all the conspiracy theories and all these kinds of things that you hear about today. And if you believe in the total depravity of man, you kind of almost, they all sound credible, don't they? Because man is going to what? It's going to wax worse and worse, deceiving. The deceivers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Right. We've become dupes of Satan because we have failed to look at the Scriptures that talk about the total depravity of man. And the only one that can really be trusted in is the Lord, because He's faithful. We can't trust ourselves. Cursed is he, the Scriptures say, that trusts in man. Cursed is he that thinks that man's going to be faithful. I make this illustration from time to time. I mean, we see it all the time about New Year's. You know, that we make promises. Maybe some of us do anyway. Many people make promises, and they're not even faithful to their own promises. And so we can't even be faithful to ourselves, even though what we may promise ourselves is good. We can't even depend upon ourselves. We can not only ultimately depend on God. The Scripture tells in Hebrews 10:23, "Faithful is He that promised." Not faithful is the pastor that promised. Not faithful is the deacon that promise, but faithful is He that is promised. He's talking about God. He hasn't, you know, all of us have suffered because of unfaithfulness, haven't we? We've suffered in the political realm. That's very fresh on our minds, isn't it? Because people make promises that they'll be faithful to the particular promises that they make. And their promises are lightly, like pie crusts, are lightly made and easily broken. That's the promises. They're not faithful to their word. We see it in the economic world that people are not faithful. Lots of promises made to employees by their employers. That are the promises. I mean, people who go to, you know, I've heard of people who work there in Detroit and they got all this nice retirement package and all of a sudden, well, you can't have this anymore because the company's going broke and you can't have that and you can't have this. But they made a promise. Well, they're being unfaithful. And we see employees being unfaithful to their employers. They promise to give an honest day's work and they cheat on their time and they steal. They're not faithful to the promise that they made to their employer. And we see it in the family realm. They make promises, till death do we part. And what do you, lo and behold, someone breaks a promise. Unfaithfulness occurs. And we can look at it in every facet of society. We see it in the religious realm. People promising, I'm going to stay true to the Word of God, and they don't. They're unfaithful to the Word of God. So unfaithfulness abounds. And all of us, in some degree or another, have been hurt by it. But God will never let us down. He will always be faithful. He will always keep His Word. You know, a lot, there's been countries who've tried to deal with this. Remember the law of the Medes and the Persians? Oh, you can't change it, you know, and all this. There's some of the Mohammedan countries and Muslim countries who they'll sew your mouth up if you lie. Well, this would be an awful quiet world if all the mouths were sewed up that ever told a lie. We'd all be in bad shape, wouldn't we? Because we've all lied. We've all lied. We've all been unfaithful. But God is the only one, again, that can really be depended on. And I love that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. He never breaks a covenant. But you know, the amazing thing is, though people might hear such things, it's amazing, but even Israel, who was given the promises of God, the oracles of God were given to them, they were blessed to be able to behold God's glory and His power and being delivered from the nation of Egypt. And so all these miracles and the great deliverance. But then, a few years go by and we find this statement there in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. It says, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. They want to hear lies. They wanted to hear the lies instead of the truth. They wanted to hear the smooth things instead of the truth, the Word of God. And that's our proneness to tell lies and our proneness to believe lies is among the most mind-boggling things about humanity. Jesus is the only one who it could be said in Isaiah 53:9, and He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death because He had done no violence, neither was there any guile, deceit in His mouth. It's refreshing then to be able to speak of a Christ, to lift up our eyes and see all the ruin and all the mess that this world is, and be able to look to Jesus Christ, who is faithful at all times, in all things. And so we want to look at, first of all, is the faithfulness of God in the Godhead. It says, therefore, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God. It is essential as to who He is. As part of who He is. He is faithful. He couldn't be God if He was unfaithful. It's part of His nature. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 says, if we believe not yet, He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. That's part of who He is. I like that. That's part of who He is. That's one of the perfections of God. It says in Psalms 89:9, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Look over there in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5. Isaiah 11 and verse 5 says this, and righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. It's part of who He is. And Psalms chapter 36, Psalms 36, and look there in verse 5. Psalms 36 and verse 5. The Scriptures spell out for us this truth. Psalms 36 and 5. I won't hear any pages turning. Okay, all right. Remember, you can't depend on my faithfulness. You go search it for yourself. Psalms 36 and verse 5 says, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I mean, that just tells you it's way up there. It is higher than the heavens, if you will. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? It's a rhetorical question, Chris. That has an obvious answer. And so we can, like Jeremiah, and like the psalm says, His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. We see that also in Daniel chapter 4. God is faithful in His own purposes. He doeth, there in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven. So, He's got a will, number one. Number two, He doesn't just decide and purpose to do something and then He can't do it. Because He's faithful, He determines a will and He will do it. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? And we see promises that are made through Jesus Christ. I like what B.H. Carroll, it's kind of a long quote, but I'll quote it concerning the faithfulness and the Godhead. Before there was any world, a covenant of grace and mercy was entered in between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, so understand the faithfulness of God in all this. The evidences of which covenant are abundant in the New Testament and parts to be performed by each person of the Godhead are clearly expressed. The Father's grace and love agreeing to send the Son, His covenant obligations, to send the Son a seed, His foreknowledge of this seed, His predestination concerning this seed, His justification and adoption of them in time. The Son's covenant was the obligation to assume human nature in His incarnation, voluntarily renouncing the glory that He had with the Father before the world was, to become obedient to the death of the cross. The consideration held out to him as a hope set before him, inducing him to endure the shame of the cross, and reward bestowed upon him because of that obedience was his resurrection, his glorification, his exaltation to the royal priestly throne, and his investment with the right of judgment. Now, and the Spirit's covenant obligations were to apply this work of redemption and calling, convincing, regenerating, sanctifying, and raising from the dead the seed promised to the Son, the whole of it showing that the plan of salvation was not an afterthought, that the roots of it, you know, were in election and predestination, are both in eternity before the world was, and the fruits of it are in eternity after the judgment. The believer is asked to consider this chain, to test each link, to shake it, to hear it rattle, connected from eternity to eternity. Everyone that God chose in Christ is drawn by the Spirit to Christ. Everyone predestinated is called by the Spirit in time, justified in time, and will be glorified when the Lord comes. You see that covenant relationship? See the faithfulness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is faithful to Himself. He cannot deny Himself. That's part of who He is. But then now we see also there in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 we see that expressed for us in verse 37. John 6 and verse 37. We see in verse 37 of John 6, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then in John chapter 17 and verse 2, "that the Father hath given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And so God is working together, faithful to himself, faithful to covenant. And then we find now, secondly, the faithfulness of God toward his creatures. The scriptures tell us there in Psalms 119 and 138, "Thy testimonies, which thou hast commanded, are righteous and very faithful." Very faithful. God is, it says there in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, "While earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." There's a promise that was made. We see the things all around us, and it's a result of God's faithfulness to His promise. You ever think about the weather, and you think about the seasons and the times, that this is a demonstration of God's faithfulness to a promise that He made there way back in Genesis. That's God's faithfulness. And we see also, and I think we see that in part in Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah lived, as we've mentioned before, in an awfully dark spiritual time. And I think Jeremiah saw that God's faithful because His compassions fail not. But you know, the ultimate of God's compassions and the ultimate of God's great mercy is going to be fully and altogether expressed in glory. What's got to take place for that to happen? There has to be judgment. What kind of heaven would it be if sin and sinners were still there, inhabiting it all with us? Wouldn't be much of a heaven, would it? If we were still haven't received our glorified bodies, what kind of heaven would that be? So what am I saying? I'm saying that God's faithful also to bring judgment. He's not just faithful to bring the good things that we like here, but He's faithful to bring judgment as well. People like to talk about, well, God's Father, God the Father sent His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in them should not perish but have everlasting life. They love to hear that. But the other part of that, well, let's look at it. Look over there just a few chapters over in verse 3, or chapter 3 and verse 16. What does it say after that? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Now, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's going to be faithful about that too. God's faithful. And then we see also other promises made. God's fulfillment of the promise here in Genesis 15. Thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. God made a promise, and He was faithful to that promise. They were, remember when He divided that sacrifice up, and that was a picture of the 400 years of darkness and enslavement and so on. But after that, there was going to be deliverance. That was all part of God's promise and His faithfulness. We see the faithfulness of God when He sent His only begotten Son. It was a faithful promise that was fulfilled way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. That the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. We see again the Passover lamb was a picture. We see in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. And we find there in Galatians 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son and made of a woman. God kept His promise. God is faithful. He had a lot of opposition, didn't he? I'll never forget Brother Joe's sermon on the meanest grandmother in the world, you know, Athaliah, and all that. I just love that message. That just sticks in my mind. But that mean grandmother was determined to stamp out the seed of Messiah. But she was not successful. Satan was determined to kill Christ through Herod, but he was not successful. Why? Because God is faithful. He's faithful. There in Hebrews 10:23, exceeding great and precious promises talks about. But are we really thinking about those exceeding great and precious promises? Are we really counting on them and expecting that God's going to do what He said He was going to do? Do we find really assurance in His faithfulness? In 1 Corinthians 1:9 it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Doesn't that? He gives us a security and an assurance that my salvation, my deliverance from death, hell in the grave is not dependent upon me. It's not dependent on the church. It's dependent on the One whose faithfulness is great. He's the faithful God. There in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 30, Psalms 89 and verse 30, we find a passage that addresses this as well. Psalms 89 and verse 30, it begins by saying, if His children forsake My law and walk not in My judgments, if they break My statutes and keep not My commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, My loving kindness will I not utterly take from them, nor suffer My faithfulness to fail. Even when we fail, God is faithful to keep us, that we have eternal life, irregardless of our foolishness and the sins that we commit and the backslidings. I'm so glad He's faithful. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever in His throne as the sun before me. That's how sure God's promises are. It promises, you know, the Scriptures tell us there that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He makes it, all the promises of God are what? Yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Through Him. What He did on the cross. That's why it's so critical. When people begin to generalize the God, the Creator, and they begin to just talk about God and they don't want to talk about Jesus, we got a big problem when they do that. Let's don't fall into the trap. Let's don't be ashamed of the name of Christ because He's faithful. Can you imagine if your husband or your wife was ashamed to talk about you? Afraid to mention your name. Ashamed to mention your name. And yet, they've been so faithful to you. And been so loyal to you. And been so loving to you. You see how that just isn't right. And it just isn't right for us to be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. Because He's been so faithful. And He's been so loving. And He's been so loyal and will continue to be so. But notice, as we see in the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when we take the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of this one. What happened at the church there? They were taking the Lord's Supper. And they were taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. Instead of thinking about and remembering the death of Christ and His blood that was shed and His body that was broken until He comes, they're all into feasting and what kind of food they had and weren't going to share with anybody and not this party spirit that they had. What happened to them? Many were sick. And many slept. Why? Because the Scriptures tell us in Romans or in Hebrews chapter 11 that whom the Lord chasteneth, that's Hebrews chapter 12, whom the Lord chasteneth, He loveth. He loves those. And when He loves His people, He chastens them. He's faithful to chasten us. He's faithful to discipline us. It's an evident token that we are the children of God when God takes the time to love us enough to discipline us. That's God's faithfulness. Now, if any of you ever had children, especially teenage children, that can sometimes be a very difficult thing to do. A very wearisome thing to have to do. And you just, there are times when your flesh is weak and you just like, ah, I'm just sick of it. I'm just, you get that way. God's love is so great and His faithfulness is so great. He never gets that way with us. He's faithful to chasten us and discipline us and form us and fashion us until we're more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Because the Scriptures tell us also, in their affliction, in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, in their affliction they will seek Me. There's something about that, isn't it? It kind of wakes us up. That God's still thinking about me. God still cares about me. God's still taking the time to discipline me. God's showing me that I'm not doing right. God's showing me that what I'm doing is hurtful to myself. And so He's disciplined me. Instead of pouring out His wrath on me, He's disciplined me. It says there in Psalms 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Lord, it's Your faithfulness. That's why I'm being afflicted. Because if we are left to ourselves, we're bastards, the Scriptures tell us. Without chastisement, we are not the true children of God. We see again, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 67, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. All of this is because of God's faithfulness to us. To want what's best for us. Because he that spareth the rod hateth his son, the Scriptures tell us in Proverbs 13:24. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Yes, as it says in Hebrews 12, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. But not only is He faithful, when He disciplines us, when He procured the way of salvation, and is sanctifying us, He's faithful. Look over there in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, beginning first of all in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, why? Now it elaborates, for whom He did foreknow, had an intimate love toward, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. As if it's already been done. Calling those things that are not as if they are, because He's God. He's not only makes the promises, but He has the power to perform the promises, to fulfill the promises. Like Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, faithful is He which calleth you, who also will do it. He's going to perform it. He's faithful to glorify us. And that just blows a person's mind when we think about it. Not only am I just being saved from wrath and saved from sin, but I'm actually going to be glorified. I'm going to be like Jesus Christ. And if I look at myself, I'm thinking, no, that there's no way that can happen. But when I look at the One who promised it, doesn't it want you to be? Doesn't it make you want to be more faithful to Him? The foundation of God standeth sure. The promises He makes. Paul rested on the faithfulness of God when he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able
to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was, it wasn't because he thought he was so good and so faithful, it's because of who Christ is, who God is. And then we see also, continuing on, God is faithful, or the faithfulness of God as it's revealed in us. As it's revealed in us. Our faith gets tried. And Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God." We've got to be reminded of these things over and over again, because our faithfulness wavers. Let me ask you, would you be satisfied with a husband and a wife whose faithfulness wavers? Would you be satisfied with that? I don't think so. We should not be satisfied with a faithfulness that wavers. We should want to be more and more like Jesus. It says there in Isaiah 30 and verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted and He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him." Look into His faithfulness. It used to be, years ago, that a handshake was all you needed in a business deal.
That's right.
How refreshing, and what a testimony to God's faithfulness in us when we make a promise and we follow through with that. And maybe even when we make the promise, God willing, the Lord willing, I'll do this or that. As much as it lies in me, I'm going to do this. Because even though we might have the best of intentions, we might get sick. We might be providentially hindered. There's all kinds of things that could happen that may not necessarily involve our sinfulness. But that we would have a testimony. That we who have the faithfulness of God in us would be faithful as well. That we would try with all our being, by God's grace and power, to follow through on the things that we promise the people. Whether it be to our husband or our wife, or to our children or grandchildren, or whether it be to our brother and sister in Christ, or whether it be to our employer or our employee, or to our neighbor, that we will be faithful to our promises and rest in God's faithfulness. I like what Job said. He said, "He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee." Nobody can break the seal. The seal, what seal? We are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing can break that seal. Nothing can harm us to the point to where our salvation is taken away from us. Recognizing this truth helps preserve us from worrying. How many of us like to worry? I don't think anybody likes to worry. But here's a remedy, here's an antidote for worrying, and that is looking to the faithfulness of God. It's also an antidote that will keep us from complaining so much. Recognizing God's faithfulness. He's faithful. If we need a trial, He's going to give us a trial. If we need to be chastened, He's going to chasten us. He is faithful that promised. He's going to perform that which we need the most. He's working all things together for our good because He's faithful. And so we're not so likely. We're more likely, like the psalmist, to say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then recognizing this too, it causes us, like 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. What's Peter saying? He's simply saying that when we look to the faithfulness of God and truly apprehend and comprehend what that means, it will cause us to have an increased confidence in the faithful God to commit the keeping of our souls in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution, as unto a faithful Creator, that He doeth all things well. And as we grow in the knowledge of this truth about God's faithfulness, the faithful God, we're going to be more sick and tired of ourself and less fond of our sin and more fond of the Lord, His truth, and His inward parts to love justice, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. We need to know that, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and looking at verse 2, moreover, it is required of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, and all of us are stewards in a way. God gives us so many gifts, whether it's physical gifts, whether it's talents or opportunities or jobs or houses and lands and all these. We're all stewards. We need to be faithful with what God has given to us. It's not going to matter so much how much of this world's goods we have. It's not going to matter so much how much talents that we have. What's going to matter is how faithful we are with what God gives us. That is what is going to matter. And so may the faithfulness of God be evident in our lives, whether we're walking around the neighborhood, whether we're going to the grocery store, or whether we're working at our job, or whether we're at school, or whether we're in the Lord's house. May they see that we have the faithful God working in our hearts. And He will get the glory. And that's the whole purpose of being here. Well, let's go ahead and close.